You are getting so quoted. Someone's going to take that little bit and do all kinds of crazy stuff with it. And even if they weren't, I gave them the idea.
But now I'm a WoW kitty. Shit myself because it's so much fun. Oh, my God, this is so great. Keep your pants on because I had a lot of time on my hands. You know, if that. You know, and that's, you know, that's sad because of this little thing here. The 3.5. That shit gets hard. Seems very quiet. I pray that all you fucking people out there are playing this game. I went back to WoW. 4 million people, can't be wrong. Oh my God, this is so great. When I hit... Oh!
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm Koban. I played so much of that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not gonna buy it.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
If you haven't listened to the show in this long, you know that I don't give a fuck.
Ludicrous Kill.
Okay, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, February 6th, 2006. I'm C4. No Kobar is in the house today, but the doctor is in.
Hello, hello, it's Ribo.
All right, thanks, Ribo, for saving us. We gave Kobar the day off. It was his birthday yesterday, so we managed to not record instead and just kind of hung out and did some fun things and was actually going to have Modem on the show, but he had class. So thank you very much for saving our asses this week.
No problem.
And before we get on to our topic here, let's go through the usual stuff. The website for the show is hwhq.com. You can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net/gamer. That's the channel. And the email address to email us is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And we do have a few emails this week, and one that I actually screwed up and missed last week. What happened was it got stuck to the bottom of another one, so I didn't read it. I didn't see it when I was sifting through the email. And this was actually back January 11th. This is from Viper, and it says, "Hey, C4 and Kobar, you've been whining about these subjects for quite some time now, so I figured you might find this interesting. It looks like Dead or Alive 4 for the Xbox 360 has a bug that is randomly nuking saves." And he's gone ahead, thank God, and tinyurl'd this for us, tinyurl.com/B6LC, "and Call of Duty 2 has serious netcode issues, tinyurl.com/H5B. Could the PC ethic of release first beta later be spreading to the consoles? Let's hope not. Some advertising," and then another story here, "some advertising company is starting to sell ads within Counter-Strike. He provided a screenshot, tinyurl.com/CLWV, and looks like J. Even worse, they just pasted them all over the walls. We don't need no stinking billboards." I saw this. I looked at this. Thankfully, Valve seems pretty pissed off about this and is asking the community to report servers utilizing this service. Keep up the good work, Viper." Now, the screenshot for the Counter-Strike thing, I saw this. This has got like about the comment about billboards. Usually they try to, you know, slip the ads they put into these games on billboards, you know, so at least it looks somewhat natural, you know, like you're used to seeing that in your daily life. This has just replaced wall textures with, like, Subway ads.
That's terrible.
That's, yeah, absolutely horrible.
I mean, the day's been coming where we're going to get ads in video games anyway, but, you know, trying to integrate it within the game. I mean, give us something here.
Yeah, rather than just replacing a damn wall texture, I don't know. I mean, I guess it works, you know. I mean, talk about a cheap and easy way to do it. You replace one graphic on the game and bam, you know, you've got a couple hundred, maybe even a thousand or so players per day on that server looking at your ad for, you know, your sandwich with 6 grams of fat or whatever it's got in it.
I think Jared is playing Counter-Strike.
Yeah, probably. He's probably spearheading this whole thing here. We've got two more emails, and they actually are on the same subject. And this is a subject that is near and dear to every gamer's heart. It has to do with Duke Nukem Forever. The first email is from UT Soul Reaver, and it says, yes, folks, it's still alive and kicking. Everyone's favorite vaporware is still, and this is quotes, in full production, end quotes, according to George Broussard, co-founder of 3D Realms. In an interview with 1UP, towards the end, Broussard chats about the status of Duke Nukem Forever, the unfortunately apt title to the game over a decade in development. Hail to the king, baby. According to Broussard, there's a lot that's finished. All the guns are finished. Most of the creatures are finished. We're just basically pulling it all together and trying to make it fun. So there you have it, an actual status update on Duke Nukem Forever. If they get their act together, 2006 may be the year that pigs fly. Then again, we predicted that Duke Nukem Forever still would not come out in 2006, and who's to argue with us? Now that was from UT Soul Reaver, and it looks like Cyber Demon read, it looks like the same article here, because he references 1UP, and he's actually got some quotes in here. This is from Cyber Demon. It says, here's an update on your favorite game, Duke Nukem Forever. And most of these are quotes here. One other notable payment was a negotiation of a $6 million charge due upon delivery of the final PC version of Duke Nukem Forever back in March of 2005. The epic delay of 3D Realms' shooter has meant that $4.25 million of the final milestone payment has already been paid, alongside the promise of a final $500,000 upon the commercial release of Duke Nukem Forever prior to December 31st, 2006. That's actually from however the hell you pronounce that, Gamasutra, GAMASUTRA.com. And another, this is actually the part from the 1UP article here. This is George Broussard talking. You know, we've been so busy on Duke Forever for so long that we can't really see past just finishing this game, but you never can tell when it's done. You know, what do you want to work on next? And 1UP says, wait, you guys are working on Duke Forever? And George Broussard laughs, says, endeavor. 1UP says, and when's that due out again? You know, trying to get a release date out of them. And Broussard replies, he says, I think it'll be out when pigs fly, but it's definitely going well now. Things are together. We're in full production. We're basically just pulling all the pieces together and making the game out of it. There's a lot that's finished. All the guns are finished. Most of the creatures are finished. And as I said, we're just basically putting it all together and trying to make it fun. We've kind of got all these disassociated elements that make up the game, and you put them together and things happen. And then you just tweak it and polish it until it's fun, and that's the kind of phase we're in now, just trying to make something that is really fun to play and interesting. 1UP says, hey, you know, that's awesome. I have to give you respect because with so many people out there saying stuff, it would just be easy, very easy to quit, you know, pack it in and whatnot. And you guys yeah, no. This is going to be an awesome game. Just chill out. Wait, hold on a second here. Oh, that was the last. It says, George Broussard just says, oh, well, thanks.
1UP doesn't, that's some investigative journalism right there. I mean, he didn't say a damn thing.
No, he basically told us the exact same thing that we've had this whole time. You know, it'll be out when pigs fly, when it's ready, when hell freezes over.
And 1UP said they're such kiss-asses, they didn't even follow up on it. They said, hey, dude, you've been working on this since, what, 1998? And you guys are talking about how you got the guns and creatures finished? I hope you got the guns and creatures finished. What's going on?
Now, this is the kind of journalism that we're used to, though. I mean, you know, for the last couple of years, think of what you have. You have all these game magazines and websites like IGN that just give us, you know, maybe a screenshot and let us know things like, yep, it's being worked on. You know, these are their breaking interviews. Now, this actually brings us to an interesting thing that I didn't think that would come up in this was, what's that guy's name? Dan, what's his name? It's HSU. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, Dan Su. He's the editor of EGM.
Right, okay. Now, what I wanted to ask you, because I'm actually not so sure, I just saw an article a couple of weeks ago with him interviewing Peter Moore of Microsoft now, and he stuck it to him pretty hard.
Oh, really?
You didn't see this? Like, he basically, you know, sat down with Peter Moore and just said, you know, your games suck. They're not better than fucking, you know, anything that was on the Xbox or the PS2, you know, and what's with all the hardware failure? And Peter Moore basically kind of, you know, sloughs it off, you know, being the salesman that he is and the PR guy, he doesn't ever really answer the question, just keeps saying, well, we're sure that, you know, the Xbox 360 is going to be, you know, the crowning achievement of, you know, gaming experience in the home and, you know, a bunch of other BS.
I'm not necessarily sure that's nice and all, but EGM's always been biased against Xbox, so I just think that's just part of EGM and their, you know, we hate Xbox attitude.
Very well could be. It very well could be. I remember there was a magazine I used to read all the time called, I think it was Next Generation, that basically, I mean, kissed Sony's ass. If I didn't know better, I mean, I would assume that Sony, you know, published that magazine themselves. It was ridiculous. So, I mean, we, you know, you do see a lot of this, but that editor in particular, though, he was just recently in the news for, you know, basically calling everybody's cards and saying, look, you know, you guys are a bunch of bullshit. You know, you guys are, you know, other magazines are being paid to put games on the cover. You know, reviewers are giving, you know, really light and easy reviews to, like, every game these days. And I don't know, he's been actually making some waves in the press because he's been basically calling out his fellow journalists and saying that they're doing a bad job. And then he comes out with this article here where he rips into Peter Moore. You'll have to find it. You'll have to check this out. It's actually worth, you know, at least looking through to see how bad he rips into him, and yet doesn't get shit out of it still.
It's actually on the first, I'm looking at it right now, it's on the front page of 1UP.com, Moore's Law 360 Straight Talk, I think, under the features.
Yeah, that sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I that's nice and all, but I think that same guy actually runs 1UP.com as well, because it's affiliated with EGM. I'm pretty sure he's something to do with that. And this is the same one with the interview with the Duke Nukem Forever guy who just didn't ask him any questions. So, I mean, there's something behind that interview. I think because they're big Sony whores anyway. So, I don't know. I think there's something behind that.
What we need is we need somebody that can actually force an answer out of these people. Like, half of me really wants to blame the journalists because I know that they're not doing the job that they should. You know, nice cushy job. They get to sit around and play video games all day and then tell us what they think about it. And as long as they're not too harsh, they'll keep getting games for free. But on the other token, it's like, you know, I would pay good money to read interviews that told me something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the lowest common denominator in games nowadays. Everything that's come out is garbage, and if it's not garbage, it's sequels to garbage. It's just, there's nothing coming out that's worth caring about. And I guess it's just, you can blame the gamers, too, because the gamers buy this crap. You see all the people that I have coming to my store buying the worst goddamn games ever. And it's just, they eat it up, and they love it. And it's just, I mean, they're ridiculous games, and these kids buy it. I don't know what happened somewhere in the generational gap, I guess. Maybe I'm getting old, but people like bad games nowadays. They just do.
That's what I wanted to ask you. These people that are buying these games, about what age are they?
They run everywhere, man. They run anywhere from age 12 to people our age. They buy the worst games. You see how many people are buying 25 to Life and 50 Cent Bulletproof. And not just the demographic you think would buy it. I mean, everybody's buying those games.
Right.
And I usually try to steer them away, tell them, hey, these are pretty bad games. And they're like, oh, I don't care. I want to play a game. And the funny thing is that I guess people have money to spend nowadays because people would rather buy a bad game than rent it. And that's what confuses me. Because they know they buy bad games in the past, and they're like, this is crap. I just wasted $50. That's why I always ask them, well, why don't you rent it? Oh, well, I don't like renting games. And, okay, well, don't rent it. Don't waste your $50 on it. And just, I think the journalism reflects what the people want. And people like bad games, so they're going to cater to the people who like the bad games. That's why you're going to have the new game Scarface, and you know that's going to suck, on the cover
right,
of EGM
of course
and Godfather. I mean, of course. I mean, come on. So I just think journalism reflects whatever the people want.
My original question about the age was actually, you know, I was curious, is it a bunch of young kids? It's, you know, at the possibility, of course, maybe they don't know any better just yet. You know, maybe they're kind of still learning, because believe me, back in my day, I bought more than my fair share of crappy Nintendo games and shitball Sega Master System games, you know, and even to this day, I buy bad games for some stupid reason. You know, I mean, it's far less than I used to buy. But I wonder if some of these people are new to gaming. You know, some of the people that are like 25 and so, you know, closer to our age, or at least mine, I'm actually quite sure how old you are, but, you know, these people, I wonder if they're brand new to games, and they haven't gone through that, like, learning curve yet, where, you know, they learn that the game needs this element and that element, and, you know, this cheap, you know, fucking throw it together, paste it together, use the same engine as something else and change, you know, a few textures, doesn't fly, you know, with them. And it does for a while because it's still new. You know, Sly Cooper 3 to us has been out for a long time, but to some kid, this is his, you know, Legend of Zelda for us, there was A Link to the Past, you know, it was just like a third one, it was just amazing. And to them, maybe this is their, like, Zelda 3, you know, like Sly Cooper 3. Like, as much as I love that game, it hasn't been long enough to warrant three games. You know, like, I don't feel. I mean, they're great. They're great. And it's probably kind of a bad example. But maybe this to them is just like it was to us back then.
Well, no, see, the thing is, I mean, they are fairly young, but, I mean, they're not new to games. See, a lot of kids nowadays they're growing up on, they start out with Game Boy Advance. And we know about all the garbage that's shoveled out on Game Boy Advance. You have, like, maybe four or five games on there that are worth playing.
Right.
But, I mean, when we were kids, because I'm the same age as you are, we had games that were bad, but they weren't terrible the way the games are now. Like, you know, we had games that weren't, like, Zelda quality, like Wonder Boy and Alien Syndrome, and you remember those Sega Master
System
games.
Yeah, definitely.
And they weren't great games, but they were still fun. But you have kids nowadays that are growing up on just the worst marketed, you know, all the licensed crap, all the Dragon Ball Z and the Yu-Gi-Oh! And all this garbage that's out there. And they think that's the way it's supposed to be. So then when they get older and they graduate to, you know, PlayStation 2, they're going to buy the WrestleManias, and they're going to buy all the bad action clones and the bad Jak and Daxter clones, because that's what they grew up on. And that's like, okay, well, this is what I expect. I don't expect a really good game.
Right, right. I can understand that. I mean, I did go through a small phase of that myself, and I was laughing. You know, thank God I've got the push-to-talk key here for TeamSpeak, because I'm laughing at myself when you say WrestleMania, because I remember having a WrestleMania game that was absolute crap. But, you know, back in the day, I thought, I've got to have this game, you know?
See, I had that game, too. It was on Nintendo, and it was fun,
right?
You know? But
it was fun. But it wasn't, I don't know. Did you ever play pro wrestling on the Sega Master System?
No.
Okay, now that's arguably a terrible game. A terrible game. And I played the living shit out of that game for some reason. To this day, I'll fire it up on an emulator once in a while. And I don't know why. Just, you know, maybe to remember how it was. I mean, it's a terrible game. It's bad. I did enjoy it, though, and I did have some fun. But, you know, again, when I played it back then, I was young. If there was something even remotely similar to it these days, I wouldn't even give it a second glance. And yet we've had games that back in the past are so good that I would kill to play another game that played exactly like that to this day. Bionic Commando is my favorite example. I've never played anything that plays just like that before. You know, and there, that was one of a kind. Okay, the arcade version sucks, so it doesn't count. The Nintendo version of it was just kick-ass. And I've never played another one, you know, and it's like I would kill to play something like that.
Oh, no, I agree. Yeah, Bionic Commando was really good, actually. But, and then the other problem we have nowadays is that you have the versions of the game. They call it the Madden Syndrome, where you have one game, and they remake it the next year, and they call it something else, but it's the same game. And Splinter Cell is very guilty of this. You have one Splinter Cell, and then they have the yearly edition of Splinter Cell now. They should just call it Splinter Cell 2007, or Splinter Cell 2008, instead of giving a new title, because it's the same
game.
Yeah,
some new jank title they came up with that tries to sound like a damn Tom Clancy novel.
Exactly. And that's just, I mean, that's commonplace nowadays. So, you know, it doesn't really surprise me that, you know, gaming journalism is as poor as it is, and they give good reviews to bad games, because that's what the kids eat up, so that's what they have to cater to.
It's true, and that does sell the magazines, you know. I mean, they want to hear about these kind of games. They'll talk about those kind of games. Maybe even the journalists themselves or people like us. I know a lot of them are around our age group and maybe a little bit older, and maybe they're just burned out too. I notice a lot of them are, you know, they talk about the same games, you know, that we talk about. They have the same past. They played, you know, Atari 2600. They played the Sega Master System games. They had a subscription to Sega Challenge Magazine and the first, you know, issue of Nintendo Power. They remember all that, and now, I mean, maybe they're just, you know, like, so unimpressed with everything that they don't rip into stuff because it's you know, they have to keep their job. And if they sit there and tell the world what crap every single game is, you know, all but maybe the, you know, maybe there's five good games a year that you really should play, you know, and what are they going to do? You every other issue of their magazine, they would have one game that they said something good about and everything else is crap. You know, they wouldn't be able to make, you know, any money like that, and they would lose their job rather quick, you know, and maybe they're just jaded by it. You know, they're just, you know, I have to say not such bad things about this, otherwise, you know, I'm going to lose my job, you know, and that would not be any good.
Yeah, I'm sure
we wind up
with
what we have now. There's some of that there, too. Yeah. So, okay, moving along, in the email here, we have another email that I'm going to have a hell of a hard time to read here. This is from Jeff Mann. Let's see. Hey, guys, I just got to the point where I'm so busy at work, I have less listened to radio instead of watching videos. Yes, watching videos. I watched all 8. What is out of season 9 of Stargate SG-1, both seasons of Battlestar Galactica, and some Futurama. Anyway, so I'm back listening to all the game radios that I've missed. Earlier today, me and my girlfriend started bitching about console history over dinner. Yes, this email has a point, by the way. Yes, I have a girlfriend that is a SNES fangirl on the level of an uber-Christian that thinks dinosaur bones were put here by the devil to fool you into blaspheme, even after showing her proof off the net that the PlayStation came from Nintendo, backstabbing Sony on the CD expansion for the Super Nintendo. She would not listen, and I say lies. There, and says lies. This leads me to my question. What is with Uber fanboys and their blind flaming over subjects like why PS2 is better than Xbox, and it is, and console versus keyboard? What makes a person do things like this? Flaming and gaming goes hand in hand, so who better than to talk about it than game radio? But in the end, we can all agree, death to all fanboy flamers. That was great. Now, actually, this carries on here about two different actual subjects, though. The PSP 2.0 and the PSP 1.5, he's talking about the downgrader, it looks like here. It says, holy fuck, what a great thing. I have two PSPs. One was 1.51 and one was 1.52, and now they're both 1.5. And, man, I love it. Fast loader and any UMD in the drive and a PC. You never have to buy a shitty game again. Every game for PSP can be easily downloaded, any game the same you could do with PCs. Not that I'm into downloading games and not paying for them, but I am a fan of downloading, playing 5 levels and uninstalling it and saying it sucks, no thank you, or fuck yes, I want to try it, and off to the local game store. So now I can go to do the same with the PSPs now, not to mention homebrew versions of Doom and Duke Nukem and ROMs for any older system than the Nintendo 64, so I would have to say that this is a must-have toy. But you have to buy used, you will not find under a 2.0 or under new unless it's in a regular store. And at the bottom here, like it was after his signature, remember when we were talking about like, you know, damaging controllers and breaking hardware when you were playing games?
Yeah.
Months ago. Yeah, look, I mean, he said something about being really busy at work and whatnot. He on the bottom of the email down here, he's got like, it says controllers 3, one thrown across the room at my brother, one I stepped on, and one my dog pissed on it. Keyboards 2, threw one across the room into a wall at a LAN party, one broken across the back of my best friend's head at the same LAN party. Mice 7, 3 playing first person shooters and 5 at work when 6 hours of work is lost over a PC crashing. It happens a lot. They must run Windows. All right, and let's see, the next email here is from Dan from the Linux Link Tech Show. Hey, guys, it's after the holidays, so I'm wondering if you're still up for doing a Linux gaming episode. I've got to email him back instead of just talk about it on the show because I'm incredibly bad with email, so it, like, never happens. On top of that, I got myself a GP2X and would be more than willing to come on and review the device on the show or another if you'd like. Just started listening to 110, good stuff. As always, I'll leave you with a movie review. I remember seeing ads for this on God, I don't know, QuickTime's website or something. It was called Hostel or something, or Hostel, H-O-S-T-E-L.
Yeah, that's it. Just before you go there, Linux gaming show, that would last, what, 5 minutes?
Just about, and that was one of the issues, because we need to sit there and really hash this out, because I threw in the towel on that back in, like, 1999 or 2000. I tried, and I threw in the towel. All you wind up with is, like, Neverwinter Nights, Doom, and Unreal Tournament.
There you go.
You know, and that's just it. So, I mean, that's not to say that that's the end of it, though. That's just to say, as far as, like, major mainstream gaming on Linux goes, though. There was a company called Loki, I think, and they did bring games like Heroes of Might and Magic 3 that was, like, before, like, they didn't have the expansions, but they had the original release of the game. And, like, Tribes 2, I think? And there was a handful of games. I mean, it was a couple games. I want to say that there was, like, a Thief game in there somewhere or something, or maybe a Tomb Raider. The website's still up, and it still looks like they're working on some games, but they closed down in, like, 2001 or something. They did not last very long at all, which is really sad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you have you're gonna have a handful of emulators and old ports that are gonna work on Linux, but I mean, come on, if you want to play games, you gotta get a Windows platform. I just play along. you know?
That's just it. You know, I had to throw in the towel. As much as I hate it, there's two reasons why I still run a Windows box all the time. Video encoding and video games. And that's it. If I can fix that problem, those two problems, I'd be all set. You know, I wouldn't need this crap anymore. But unfortunately, you know, even if, let's say tomorrow, every single new game that came out started to run on Linux and Windows, I still would not be able to walk away from Windows because of all the old games that don't work, you know, that wouldn't work on Linux, you know. And by old, I mean even new stuff, well, recent stuff, like even, say, like Age of Empires 2, you know, a fantastic game that I would love to sit down and play with people still. StarCraft, you know, not to mention the piles of emulators that are just fantastic that there's not, you know, Linux equivalents of. You know, most of them there are, you know, Super Nintendo emulators, all that kind of stuff, but I think you're probably pretty hard-pressed to find like maybe a PS2 emulator or, you know, that's in early development, or like a Jaguar emulator, or maybe even a Sega CD emulator that's where the fuck. Although that one actually might work pretty well. I can't remember. But still, you know, there's plenty of emulation out there for it. And I would like to kind of steer clear of that, though, if we did talk about Linux gaming, only because that's not entirely realistic.
Right. Yeah, it's not
that would be better. Yeah, that's not feasible for most people. You know, that's and it's borderline illegal. You know, I mean, the emulation itself is perfectly legal. However, I'm going to tell you right now that probably 100% of the people that engage in emulation are doing so illegally at some point.
Right, but on the other hand, the people who would actually run Linux would be all over emulation. I mean, let's face it, it's not going to be Ma and Pa Jones in Kansas running Linux on their computer to, you know, use AOL to talk to their daughter in Chicago. So,
right,
I mean,
exactly.
It is feasible that emulation would be a big factor of Linux gaming.
That's absolutely true. And also there's like Sedega and that Winx or whatever that allows you to run a lot of Windows games. You know, in fact, I know that World of Warcraft works on it. I mean, it takes a little bit of work, but it, you know, it can be done. And there's a whole pile of other games that work just fine on it, but you need some kind of different software and whatnot. And it would be great to be able to cover the how to do that. You know, play your favorite games from Windows on, you know, an operating system that doesn't entirely suck. You know, so that would be, I think, the interesting part about it. Not so much the four or five games. You know, it would be more the how to make some of these work and the software necessary. Yeah, so that would be a blast. I need to get back in touch with him. But back to this movie here that I can't remember a damn thing about. I guess it's called Hostel? H-O-S-T-E-L?
It's Hostel, actually.
It's Hostel? Okay. Yeah. Hostel is one nasty flick, and if you're into horror and gore, a must-see. I don't want to go into the actual movie itself for fear of spoiling any surprises. I thought it was an interesting twist on The Most Dangerous Game, a short story by Richard Connell, and he gives us a tiny URL for that. It's tinyurl.com/B as in boy, E, B as in boy again, X, and N, if you have not already read it. In my opinion, the horror genre all but died in the 80s with a few limp along since then. But in the past few years, it's really made a comeback. And, why can't I remember how to pronounce this now? I guess I've never seen the word or heard it before.
Hostel is like a...
Hostel.
It's like a...
Like the place like you stay?
Yeah, it's all over Europe. It's like a place, like, it's kind of a free space you stay at. Kind of cheap housing, like the Y or something like that.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I've never seen it written down and spelled then. Because, yeah, I know what it was, but I've never seen it spelled. And, you know, the way I associate words, I've just never seen it written down. Okay. anyway, let's see. It harkens back to the revenge survival sickos of the 70s. Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave readily come to mind.
That's a sick movie right there.
Never heard of him. Hostel does not try for the jump-out-at-you scare fest, but delivers a bag of gross... to kick your nuts up to your throat, much like the old cannibal flicks. Make them die slowly, nice. Cannibal Pharaoh, and Cannibal Holocaust. What makes this movie truly horrifying, in my opinion, is that it could very well be happening. The mystery, corruption, and brutality of some Eastern European countries and the Western Bloc of the former Soviet Union lend enough plausibility that upon leaving the theater, you are not only shocked, but a bit numb in the realization that this world is probably sicker than you want to believe it is. If you're looking to get laid, this ain't no date flick, unless your date is a bondage freak. There's the obligatory tits, ass, and drugs from the first half of the movie, so make sure you finish your tub of popcorn then. When the drilling starts, kiss your appetite goodbye. This movie gets two bloody thumb stumps up.
Wow.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Did you know the plot of this movie?
Actually, I do not.
Basically, it's about these American kids who, well, not kids, they're young adults, and they go to Europe for, usual, typical, drugs and sex weekend in, Amsterdam or one of those little places. And they get word that there's this other place that's even more debauched than the place they're at, somewhere in, the countryside. And when they get there, they're actually captured, and they're used for torture, torture games, for these other people that pay money to torture. They're like rich people who pay money to torture human beings, basically. And that's kind of the plot of the movie.
That sounds really cool. I kind of really enjoy movies like that, just a little bit sick and twisted like that, like Saw. You know, I can't believe I haven't seen Saw 2 yet, but I guess it's not out on DVD till the end of the month or something. So that definitely sounds like a movie.
I heard Saw 2 was terrible.
I can imagine it was. You know, I mean, it being a sequel and all, but being the fanboy I am of movies like that, I really might end up enjoying something like that.
Yeah, I've never seen either, though, so I wouldn't know.
You gotta watch the first one at the very least.
Yeah, I'm not really into those type of movies. Like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was okay, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of those.
I actually can't stand those. They're absolutely horrible. Particularly, the new ones are terrible. There was one from back in the day that I really, really enjoyed, though, and I can't remember which one.
I meant the 70s.
Oh, okay,
not the movie.
If I remember correctly, there was a movie where there was some guy carrying a dead body through the forest somewhere singing a song that was hilarious. And I've actually been trying to remember what movie that is for about 10 years. So if anybody knows, for the love of God, let me know what movie that is, because I want to hear that guy singing some creepy, crazy song out in the woods while he's carrying a dead body around or something. I was a little kid when I saw it.
Is that all I have to go on, carrying a dead body through the forest?
Carrying a dead body to the forest, and he's like, "Oh motherfucker!" And he's like singing this song, like he's all happy and stuff, like he's not covered in blood and carrying a chainsaw or a dead body and stuff or something. It was really bizarre. I cannot tell you what it was. It was, God, it was more than 10 years ago. It was probably 13, 14 years ago, and I could not remember what it was. But that email was from Dan from the Linux Link Tech Show. It's tllts.org. I love reading off. I don't usually read signatures, but Dan's is okay because, yeah, I'm 100% in agreement here. So you've got his website, and it says get Slack, slackware.com, and get happy. Now, the last email, this one is really cool. This email here, this is the kind of thing that I like to see more of. I would really enjoy to see things like this happen more often because not only do we do this as close to weekly as we possibly can, this is my entertainment. You know, I do watch some TV, but I listen to a lot of these so-called podcasts. And I particularly enjoy the technology and gaming-related ones, but I really don't see enough of the gaming ones in the style that I would like. I see lots of them with lots and lots of music in there and maybe one host or whatnot, but something like online gaming radio, I absolutely adore if they can stay on topic. You know, something like that is just fantastic. So this email is from Ozimo, hey C4 and Kobar. So cutting to the chase, I love the show, but you seem to have too much to talk about, especially when it comes to massively multiplayer online games. So myself and my friend are going to give it a shot. We're in the process of getting www.lag-radio.com and starting an MMO podcast show going. We're still in the planning rehearsing stages, so if you guys have any tips or info you could give us, that would be great. For instance, what programs do you use for recording and encoding? What kind of website server do you have, upload space, etc.? Do you use Skype and a favorite color? Well, I can answer the color right now. Mine's maroon. You get the idea. Thanks again for a great show and inspiring a little offshoot in Lag Radio. Your friend Ozimo, P.S. We won't be ready for at least a week yet, so don't try checking the site anytime soon. Now, this was just sent a few days ago, but I wanted to make sure I read this because so this will air on probably, I don't even know what day it is, 3 days from now, so the 9th or so. So hopefully they'll have some stuff up there ready to go by then. If not, just shortly thereafter. That's www.lag-radio.com. I can't wait to check this out, and I'm going to have to fire back an email and let them know a few things that I've picked up over the years and some things that were passed down to me when we got started here, because there was quite a few things. In fact, we'll have to set this aside. Now, we've got about an hour left. it looks like. I actually can't remember what the hell time we started this, and I don't have Audacity going, so I don't have a time on it. Now, after last episode, and I talked a lot about World of Warcraft and the kind of experiment, you know, of jumping into a game that's a year old that the entire world is playing, where it's become like a second life to them, and you jump in as a newbie. And I touched on some things, and I said that was going to be the end of it all, but I've run into a very peculiar issue here. Not only is it all I'm playing, you know, being an MMO, these things tend to take up a lot of time, but there really isn't shit else to talk about in the gaming world. So it seems to me that this is a fantastic time to get yourself wrapped up into an MMO. And, I mean, right off the top, without getting into it, I'm going to say if you have not played Final Fantasy XI, you owe it to yourself to give that game a try. But our topic here today is going to be World of Warcraft. I tried flipping through some magazines to see what I could find. Online is a joke. I'm seeing nothing but, you know, re-wrap-ups of, you know, the end, the best of the year still, you know, and a bunch of worthless crap and, you know, occasional interviews with people that don't tell you a damn thing. But even the magazines I'm reading have gone from, you know, multiple pages, you know, like a lot of pages, like 150 pages or so. These magazines are down to like what seems like 60 pages with 40 of them ads. I mean, there's just nothing out there.
It's always slow this time of year. The biggest thing probably, if you're a big RPG fan, another Tales game is coming out in the next few days. I think Tales of Legendia or something like that on the PS2.
Uh-huh.
And I heard decent things about it. You know, I heard yet another Tales game. I heard it's not as good as Tales of Symphonia. But, you know, it's okay. It's not, I mean, it's not as good as Dragon Quest 8 now, not Dragon Warrior. If you haven't played an RPG, go out and find Dragon Warrior 8 and play it right now, because that one that's still excellent.
Absolutely. And I would say, I haven't enjoyed a single-player RPG in quite some time. They just don't offer the feeling of you're in another world anymore. And I think that's why I...
Dragon Quest 8?
Fucking no.
Well, there you go. Play that game. It's excellent.
I know. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's fantastic. I do not doubt that at all. And I've heard nothing but really great stuff about that. But I've also seen everybody I know that was playing it just switch it off. After like 2 or 3 weeks, they just, like, they're loving it, and then like the next day, they've completely stopped playing, and they're off back to playing whatever MMO it is that they were playing before, or whatever new one has hooked them now, whether it's Guild Wars or World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy XI or City of Villains.
That game actually... It's very old school, and when you play an old school game like that, you just level up constantly, basically, before you tackle the dungeon, fight a boss, find out where you're supposed to go next, and you kind of repeat the same thing over again. So the story is not good enough where, like, a Final Fantasy III, where basically, you know, you want to keep playing to see the end of the story. It's an okay story, and that's kind of the problem with it. So, yeah, you will take a break and go to something else, and you'll come back to it, and then you'll play it again for another 2 weeks, and you'll take another break, and so forth and so on.
Okay, I can see that. One of the things I remember, you know, those old-school RPGs, that was essentially, I mean, you know, it was a developing market. That's what we had. We had computer games that started out like an adventure, you know, if you remember that, and ZZT on the computer, and the old, like, you know, what were they, like, the adventure games where you would type, you know, go north, you know, you type N, and you would go north, and it would describe it to you in text. And we kind of went, and, you know, at the same time, we already had... you know, the best game ever, period, okay, for real, 10.0, plus some, we had Dungeons & Dragons, a pen and paper game. And it's, you know, in my opinion, it seems like, you know, computer entertainment has been trying to get to that point, you know, this entire time. And then we're still far away, but, you know, as we get closer to, you know, computer, digital Dungeons & Dragons, the games improve. You know, not all of them, obviously. We have some pretty shitball RPGs out there. But look at, you know, you go from something like Adventure to The Legend of Zelda, where it's like a huge leap, and it's just mind-blowing. And then you wind up with something like, you know, Zelda 3, you know, A Link to the Past, and it's not so mind-blowing, but at least it's refined some things. You know, it's still progress. Then we look at a game like Final Fantasy VI, where it's another giant leap in not only technology, but in what all encompasses an RPG. You know, you go from just killing stuff to, you know, and gaining whatever it was, money, you know, or whatever the case may be, to now you have, you know, multiple players and levels. You know, and then you have all these different gear, and you have, you know, more items. And now we're in this part now where, you know, well, okay, we jump from there to games like, I want to say something like Baldur's Gate, okay, Baldur's Gate 2, where all of a sudden it becomes gigantic, and now you're still controlling a bunch of guys, and you have more gear than you know what to do with. And then you've got special moves and whatnot, and now you have classes, you know, and you have all this extra stuff. And excuse me. And you have a really, really in-depth story that just sucks you in. And now we've come to, you know, which I still feel was just like a modification of stuff like, you know, Zelda and Final Fantasy VI. And now we've come to the part where we have these MMORPGs now, which are a little bit more freeform, and they're a world. They're considerably larger than anything that we've played before and detailed. And, you know, it's like we keep pushing that limit. We keep going closer and closer and closer to this virtual world. And then, God, I can't wait for the day where I can just jack myself in and never come back. I can't wait for that day.
It's the Matrix, Neil.
That's right. But, you know, what I think is happening is the gamers are evolving also with the games. Like, I used to play an insane amount of RPGs. And I have a really hard time sitting down and enjoying them now because I've seen the other side. I mean, that's not to say that these games aren't fun and they're not enjoyable. That's not the case at all. They're still fun. They're still enjoyable. However, in the back of your mind, when you go back to play a single-player RPG that is not as large, you know, and as realistic as something as, say, Morrowind was a couple of years ago, or as Oblivion promises to be in a few months here, you almost feel like you've gone back a step in the, not quite technology of it, you know, more like in the evolution of the RPG. That's how it feels to me. And I think a lot of people have a hard time going back to these kind of games. And maybe it's not everywhere in the world, too. You know, I mean, this game sold like crack in Japan, you know, but not so well, I guess, here in the United States. Even though it's an absolutely fantastic game, it can't compete with something like, say, World of Warcraft, okay, where, you know, you're looking at just a ridiculous amount of players with maybe not even more content, but the multiplayer aspect of it, how it kind of puts you into that false reality, that virtual world, is the next technological leap that we've had in the last, you know, maybe 10 years of RPGs. And I think that, you know, this is just the evolution of them. And as much as I would like to say that I would love to play a single-player RPG, like, I remember you used to say this all the time, if Final Fantasy XI was a single-player game, it would be the best game ever. And yes, it would be. However, having played games like Final Fantasy XI in its current state, where you're online, and having played games like World of Warcraft, where you're online, and, you know, all these other games, it wouldn't be a 10.0 game. You know, it would be, this game is the most fantastic fun you can have single player, but lack of hooked up to the rest of the world with a player-driven economy and yada, 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 you know, it falls short, so we're going to give it, you know, an 8.5. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see exactly what you mean. It's definitely more fun playing an RPG with other people rather than just having a single-player game and, you know, you have your NPCs there. And I think
So I'm not totally off base here.
No, you're not totally off base at all. Didn't .hack try to simulate the MMO world and it just didn't work?
Yeah, you know, in fact, I played the first one, and it was actually fun. I really enjoyed it. And what I think they succeeded in was falsifying that technological leap. You know, like they're right in between it, and they succeeded to a point. It's not perfect. The AI was pretty bad. But the characters that they had you play with had personality, you know, and so they did a fairly good job. I really enjoyed playing through, you know, at least the first one. I even own the second and the third one, I think. I've just never gotten back to them because it's like, wow, they did a good job. But, you know, hey, 5 years ago, .hack would have been fantastic. But no, not five. How old is EverQuest 1? Maybe even around, like, before UO. Maybe 7 years ago, around that time,
7 years.
That game? Yeah, okay, right, okay. That game, .hack series, would have absolutely, I feel, destroyed, you know, like the Final Fantasy series. If we just came up against, you know, Final Fantasy, what was that at the time? 7, maybe Final Fantasy 8, and put Dot Hack against it. And if they had that idea back then, it would have, I think, just crushed Final Fantasy. People would like, holy shit, I feel like I'm playing with other people. Now, that's fantastic and all, and I'm sure it's fantastic if you live out in the middle of the sticks and you don't have an internet connection and you can't play an MMORPG, but unfortunately, you know, reality is reality, and most of the world does, you know, have some kind of a broadband connection. And, well, maybe not most of the world, but most of the real world does, you know, maybe not third world countries and all, but, you know, at least people with computers and whatnot. Let me try this again. People that have computers and can hear us right now, okay, are fucking hooked up to the interweb. Exactly, okay? And, you know, that's just the simple fact of it all. The technological advancements land us in MMORPGs today. And I've had this thought for a long time of how to break it down that, you know, single-player RPGs have it really hard. You know, they have a hard time going up against, you know, an MMORPG right now. And on, you know, on top of, like, okay, it feels old tech, you know, it's, any single-player RPG is pretty much going to feel like old school because you can't sit and chat with, you know, a million people at the same time anymore, and you don't have that, like, randomness of the world and whatnot, and all these, you know, jackasses out there playing and a bunch of cool people. There's just, you know, the limitation of the game being single-player, it's going to end at some point. And at that point, you know, you play it through again, but you probably won't these days, or you move on. And at some point, you've played them all, and you wind up at a damn MMORPG, whether you like it or not.
You see, the best thing about MMORPG is that it's non-linear. And I think if they could perfect that in a single-player RPG and just make it completely non-linear with a good AI as your companions with multiple endings, then you would have... That would be a good competition for an MMO. And I don't see it going that way anytime soon, since everybody and their brother is so focused on, you know, making the graphics look so good. They had a whole commercial, and this is a little off topic real fast, for Fight Night Round 3, I think, for the Xbox 360. And the whole commercial was, look at this guy sweat. They didn't say anything about the gameplay or anything like that. They were just all focused on, oh my god, he's actually, it's like real sweat. I mean, the whole world has gone on graphics and gameplay and AI has come on completely out the window, so I don't see that happening anytime soon. However, back to
holy
the RPG
crap.
Thing.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that commercial? You gotta go on to GameTrailers.com and just download it. Go on Fight Night Round 3 for Xbox 360 and they'll probably have it there. It's just like, it's ridiculous. They're just fixated on
yeah,
the guy.
Yeah, they've got everything. I'll check it out.
Yeah, definitely. But, if single-player RPGs can just perfect that, just the gameplay, just the storyline, just give me a non-linear story, give me where I can do anything I want in the world, and I can, there's like a main arch to the story, like, you know, there's actually a main thing I'm supposed to be doing, but that's why Morrowind was so good. Because you could do anything you want in Morrowind and kind of follow the story, then you can go on a bunch of side quests that actually matter, not fetch side quests that go here and kill this, like whole side quests that could alter the entire economy or whatever. You could alter
right. and change if the entire game, right.
Exactly. Now, if they make it a single-player RPG that can do that, that would be a good competition for an MMO. But so far, the only thing we have right now is Morrowind. And I don't know if you ever played Fallout. Fallout was excellent because Fallout actually did this. You could do anything you want in Fallout. You can be a good guy. You can be a bad guy. It was pretty Fable. And you can actually change the ending. You could, you know, be a child killer in the game and just be vilified by everybody. And it would, you know, it was really excellent in actually getting you into the game and making you want to see all the different endings and whatnot.
Right, right. I've not played it. I actually have them, my own Fallout 1 and 2. I have them here, and I've just never gotten around to it because when I first heard about them, it was a little bit too late, and I was already playing Baldur's Gate 2, and I just could not go back and play Fallout. Plus, it's not, you know, fantasy-based, which I'm a whore for. It's more sci-fi or post-apocalyptic, so I just I couldn't pull it together. I couldn't do it. And, you know, I think you're right. If they could make it that good, you know, if they have a nice story, and when you mentioned that, the first thing that popped into my mind that had a nice story arc through it, and yet you could still spend years doing other stuff, was Final Fantasy XI, where there was a main story arc through it that actually mattered, you know, and that you actually followed, and that, you know, somehow ties together at different points, and if you pay attention, it explains. I mean, even things like the layout of the world and, you know, why certain creatures were there and then, you know, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was just fabulous. I haven't seen an MMORPG since then, that had that deep of a real actual set story. Honest to God, I've never seen anything. You know, there's just, yeah, they don't have it. They figure we don't need that. You know, and I think that maybe, you know, okay, so MMORPGs have taken the next step technologically, but as far as gameplay goes, they're probably dropping the ball just a little bit. They're leaving out some really important things. Sure, you know, EverQuest, I remember when EverQuest 2 came out, and they said, oh God, we've added 1,000 quests in the last month. And I'm like, okay, you've added quests that have shit to do with fuck. Okay, they don't mean anything. They don't add anything to your game, but a time sink. And I don't, you know, nobody cares to run around and find these quests. They only, you know, for 10 copper pieces or whatever, or whatever ghetto thing it gives you. It doesn't matter. You know, if I feel like I'm in this world and either just living here and doing whatever I want, or whether I'm an actual hero in this world and, you know, I'm trying to be the best of the best and save the world before somebody else, that's fantastic. But you didn't have that feeling in that. And I don't think World of Warcraft does a very good job of that either. I think they left a lot of it up to just kind of, well, let the players fight each other and they'll sort it out. Our story is Alliance versus Horde. Knock yourselves out, kids. Here's a dagger.
Yeah, that's one thing I have about WoW is that there doesn't seem to be any plot at all. I mean, unless I'm missing something, there's no, like in Final Fantasy XI, when you had the missions and you were actually, you know, fighting for something and there was a whole storyline. I haven't seen any storyline yet in this game.
Right, Final Fantasy had those, right, they were called missions, and they were essentially just quests that actually mattered to the main story arc. So, you know, as you went through the missions, you would be going up in levels because you would be pissing around with other little random quests and bullshit, but they did a really good job of always letting you know where you stood in the world and what was happening in the world, and why, you know, there was, you know, this dragon there and what happened to these guys and whatnot. Now, the thing of it is honest to God, believe it or not, there is story to World of Warcraft. You and I just don't know it, and I'm not so sure. No, honest to God, I can talk to Ode on the phone for hours while he will sit there and explain to me what is happening. He went off on me the other day about something about Earth dragons were the bad guys and red dragons were something and some human paladin did something and now these dragons are there and blah, you know, I mean, he just went off. And I'm not entirely sure.
This is actually in the game. This is not like prior World of Warcraft or Warcraft 3, Warcraft 2 knowledge that you have to know and you can apply it to the game.
Right. See, that's the thing. Half of it is prior knowledge. Half of it is from like Warcraft 1, 2, and 3. Like where Arthas comes into play and the Dark Portal and all that. That's just part of the whole lore of World of Warcraft. And that's just Warcraft, right? So they pulled those elements out of those games, and you don't necessarily need to know much of that. Like, you know, I mean, I remember reading the manuals for those games back in the day, and it was fantastic. It was like reading a fantasy novel. I mean, their manuals were that good. And, you know, as you played through Warcraft 3, you know, it told you a lot about the story, about, you know, like a lot of the heroes that were there, like the fallen paladins and all this shit, you know, and yada, yada, yada. It's like if there was a World of StarCraft and there was a, you know, boss mob somewhere named Kerrigan, or she was the queen of the fucking Zerg or whatever, you would know that, well, you might not know, but, you know, most of the StarCraft players would know where she came from already. Now, I don't think they do a very good job of, like, teaching the new players that kind of thing, you know, and forcing the story upon you. I don't think they do a decent job of that at all.
Right, because I never played Warcraft 2 or 3, so I don't know what the hell's going on, basically. I don't know what's Horde and why are they angry at the Alliance and what's going on here or there. I don't know what's going on there. So, yeah, it would be nice if they actually integrated that into one of the quests or something like that and tell me what's going on, since I never played the games before.
Now, my understanding is there is a considerable amount of quests that do explain some of this. My understanding is there are some quests out there that, you know, explain things. But what I've seen is, I'll tell you what, I can only tell you right now that of all the quests that I've done, you know, like I go out and I do, you know, this and that, and I bring this person his shit here, and I go kill these things for this guy and whatnot, you know, the time waster quests. I do more than my fair share of those things, you know. But I've only come across, I would say, 5 quests that I've done, and I think I've done about 300 quests, and this is actually based on this little profile thing I was looking at that kind of tracks this shit. about 5 quests that actually, and that's stretching it, I'm making that number up, it's probably less than that, I'm sure, because I can't name 5. I can name, like, maybe 2 quests where they explained something in the world, like, oh, you know, hey, you know, there's demons down here or whatever, why don't you go down to this zone for me, you know, and do this, bring me some of this, check this place out, yada, 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 survey the site, basically, and come back to me. And, you know, it wasn't just some jackass NPC. This was, like, the head archdruid of, you know, ass-kick in Darnassus, you know? So I think that we're not getting, I think at just at this point in the game, they just haven't, we haven't seen those quests yet, I think. I think we just haven't seen all the quests that have to do with the world and the story just yet, because they're out there. They're out there because these fuckers know about it. You know, all these little, you know, these little quests don't mean shit, but there is a few big quests out there. I just don't think they mark them clearly. Like, I don't ever know if I'm on some stupid quest or a quest that matters for something. And it was explained to me the other day that there was a couple quests that I absolutely had to do to get access to certain zones, and they sounded like quests that, you know, would teach me things about the game world, you know, and the history and the lore.
Well, that's cool. It'd be nice if they put that in, you know, some of the, I'm assuming they're high-level quests, like in the 50s or so.
And, right, yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice if they put that in, you know, from level 10 or whenever, like, you know, early on, to get me motivated to actually know what's going on. So, because right now, my only motivation to getting to 60 is to play the battleground so I can get good gear so I don't get ganked anymore by all the high levels. And, you know, just to smack some little kids around. That's like my only motivation right now to get to 60. I don't really, there's nothing else really motivating me to get to 60. And that's kind of like the big problem I see in this game.
It would have been really easy for them to, like, okay, let's say the very first time your dumbass walked into, say, okay, well, from the Night Elf perspective anyway, you could do this 3 different ways, and that's fine, but I'm not going to rehash it 3 times. I'm going to go, okay, let's say the first time you walk into Darnassus, you get a quest that doesn't count against your quest walk, you know, against your 20 that you could have, and it just pops up and says, hey, go talk to, you know, King Dingaling in fucking Darnassus. You know, you go see the king. And so you go see the king, and he says, yada, 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 blah, 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 I need you to travel the lands and do this and that, and sends you out to do whatever. Fantastic. Well, on your little travel for him, you gain, you know, well, okay, not 2 or 3 levels, but it's World of Warcraft, so you gain, you know, 10 or 12 levels, you know, and you wind up in, like, let's say, Ironforge, and, you know, you go out to Ironforge for the first time, and you're just like, you know, okay, I've found this whole other part of the land and whatnot, and I remember that guy explained to me why this place was here, and that this was one of our places, you know, in the middle of all this war that's our stronghold. Oh, but hey, I just got here, and I have a quest to go talk to the king of this fucking place now. Okay, do you think I've ever talked to the king of any town? No. I've seen them. I've walked past them. I've waved. I got lost one time in Ironforge and ran into the wrong room, and the king was there. Didn't even know he was, you know, I was just like, oh, whatever. You know, I'm busy. I'm doing stuff. And as far as, you know, what you commented on was get the motivation, it's the same motivation for me. I was, you know, sitting here, didn't know what games to play. There's nothing I really care to play out. I've played the MMOs that I wanted to play. This game, in particular, must have something special for it because the entire world seems captivated by it for the last year. And I didn't like it originally. I could not stand it. And I was, you know, basically convinced to try it again. But this time, I was convinced to try it at the end levels, not just play it. You know, not pull a Khobar on it and make, you know, 35 level 15 dudes. You know, I was convinced to give the game a shot. And so, you know, here I am, giving the game a shot, coming in knowing not a damn thing. And, you know, I didn't keep up on the news for this. I didn't read anything about this. I didn't care. You know, it wasn't fun to me. So here now, I'm, like, forcing myself to play, and I have found things in it that are entertaining to do. Therefore, you know, I'm out doing them. I'm keeping myself entertained. But basically, I've come to the point now where, okay, if we were recording right this second, I would be 58. I'm really close. Like, I was 57 when I was talking to you in-game a minute ago, and I'm that close. I'm, like, less than 15,000 experience away from 58. And I'm really quickly approaching the end level here. And it's just like, what am I going to do with myself? I'm going to PvP all day in the battlegrounds, which, see, now I've decided, I've come to the conclusion, aren't very good. They're just not that good. Alterac Valley is fucking awesome. You are basically a unit on Warcraft 3. That's like as close as you're ever going to get, well, at least for a long time, to feeling like a unit in a real-time strategy game. You know, it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. However, it plays out the exact same almost all the time, you know? there's just not enough there. And now, think back to the original release of World of Warcraft. The battlegrounds weren't there for months, so you didn't have this. Now, Modem, who's been, you know, playing since beta and absolutely adores the game, yet hates it, tells me that this game was entirely different before the battlegrounds. And I remember bitching and complaining about Blizzard, saying, you know, they're telling us how great their game is and how awesome this game is supposed to be, and the battlegrounds are going to be the best thing since sliced bread, but we don't have them yet. So buy our game, play it, get to 60 in a week, you know, and play, wait for battlegrounds. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with people, you know? It's like an action game, and you guys stand around at level 60 and do the same three raids over and over and over, you know, while you're waiting for Blizzard's promise to bring you, you know, the Uber in PvP. Well, the battlegrounds come out. And what happened, apparently, was the game used to have just, you know, massive PvP brawls just all the time in some random zone. And now that doesn't happen as often. Now, I swear to God, in my 58 levels, it's happened once. You know, like, now you just have ganks. You know, you're just out doing something and somebody runs up and kills you. You know, and that's what you have. One time, I don't remember if I told this story last week or not, but one time there was an actual, like, brawl. There was a fucking melee in the zone with Tar and Mill. And it was the most fun I have had in World of Warcraft yet. And it shattered my view on the game, because I remember telling people, fuck that game, the only fun would be the PvP, and they don't have the battlegrounds yet. You know, I remember, you know, I was convinced that, you know, Blizzard was on to the best PvP in any game. You know, it's Blizzard. God, they do player versus player so well in all their other games. Why would they drop the ball in World of Warcraft? So, you know, a few months go by, Battlegrounds comes out, now the world PvP just falls to shit. And all these people are playing these stupid-ass games that just aren't that fun, which they call Battlegrounds. And I'm sitting here kicking myself, telling myself, my God, you know, I would have loved to have had it before the Battlegrounds, back when it first came out, you know, because I like the open world PvP idea, and the Battlegrounds just turned out to be kind of stupid, you know, at least Blizzard's, in, you know, what they've done with the Battlegrounds, I just don't like. Alterac Valley was much better, and it's along the right path, just give us 10 of them or something, and you've made the game super incredible, you know. It's weird, because it's like, God damn it, I remember telling myself, you know, God, I can't believe I had, you know, little to no fun playing, you know, this in beta and on the stress test, and it was just like, God, this sucks, I can't believe people are playing this thing, what is it that's so fun? I talked to Modem yesterday for about 2 hours about it, and he explained to me that, you know, before you had the Battlegrounds, just brawls would break out. Just all over the place. And that has only happened to me one time, and it honestly was the most fun I had. I was out with a couple of people. We wound up in Taran Mill, and we were cruising around just to go see if there was any horde to go fuck with out there, because there generally is a few out there. We rolled out there and happened to run into, like, a group of, like, 15 Alliance or some shit, and, like, you know, everybody gets on their general chat and their world defense chat, you know, on both teams, and like, hey, roll out to Taran Mill, there's a bunch of fucking horde out here, you know, and of course they're like, hey, the stupid ass Alliance guys are in Taran Mill, come out with us. And within 5 minutes of being there and messing around with, like, you know, the 10 or so of us that were, well, maybe there was probably between two sides, there was probably 20, 25 people out there. There was about 60 people out there just in some random zone that all of a sudden just decided to just bust out like a kung fu flick and break it down for an hour.
Now, that's pretty cool. How was the lag with all those people there?
I didn't have any problem with it at all. But granted, we're really close to the server. You live in the fucking city our particular server's on, so I don't think you're going to have too much of an issue.
I get a little lag. It's not much, but I get some lag sometimes.
I only do if there's something weird going on. You know, like if the server's had... Like, the server does have its issues, I guess, once in a while. Like, particularly Friday and Saturday night. The 2 days I cannot stand to play that game.
When all the little kids are on.
Exactly. You know, when all the kids are home from school for the weekend and they don't need to go to bed early, all of a sudden our server has a waiting to log in queue, you know, and it's like, okay, it's annoying. It's not like something like drama wing where it's a 2 hour wait, you know, but we're on Gorgonash and we're looking at like 15 minutes and it's enough to make me mad. It's like, you know, goddamn it, I pay to play this game and I can't play it when I want to. This needs to be solved. This is in Blizzard's hands though. They need to figure something out for that, okay? Now granted, I can't complain too much at my 15 minute wait because some poor bastards are waiting hours, okay? But it's still bullshit. But, and then even, you know, even so, once I get in, I find that I don't want to play anyway on those days because there's just too many kids playing the game. They just ruin the fun.
Yeah, it's a big gank fest when all the kids are on.
Like, that's not even so bad. Like, the ganking part I can understand. I like fighting people. The problem is it's not like you're fighting somebody on even ground. I've maybe three times had even fights with people, like where we're about the same level within a level or two, you know, and one of us doesn't start our PvP in a fight. You know, like people like to jump you when you're in a fight because it helps them win the fight, you know. That never happens. You know, you always get jumped. You always run across some guy that's like level 60 and full on epics that just whoops your ass. You know what I mean? Or you run across a group of them that are just out to take out people, you know, that are playing single player, you know, or they're out by themselves without a group. You know, that's what ends up happening.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of griefers on there that, you know, they just like to cause trouble. And I think I said this in the IRC, I think the most fun of the PvP, apparently, is, you know, beating some noob like us, and then going on the forums and then showing everybody how big your e-penis is, because I think Modem does that all the time.
Exactly. I see, you know, they hop up on the forum, and they talk about how their fight went with somebody that they jumped in combat that they've got 10 levels on, and how high their crit was on that guy, you know, and they're just like, oh my god, I stuck it in, you know, man, I fucked this guy in the ass. I stuck it in and broke it off. I hit this guy for $2,000 and he fell apart, you know.
What a noob. Yeah, stuff,
you know,
like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like, I don't get off on that. I have actually never once logged into those forums or been there and read them. I can't stand it. Like, I've never, like, logged in and posted. I've never done any of that, but I've been directed. Yeah, I've never gone there either. But I've been directed to about 3 or 4 threads. Hey, you've got to read this. And I'll click it, and I'll read that the first 2 posts and the grammar and the spelling is so bad I can't go on, you know? So that's about as far as I get in reading these posts. You know, and it's like, exactly. I understand how that is fun to them. I fully understand that. What I don't understand is the repeated doing it to, like, the same people.
If I was 13, I'd probably be all over it, to tell you the truth.
Right. You know, like, I'm a big fan of walking up and, like, sapping a guy, you know, for just to fucking scare the shit out of him. You know, it's like, God, this guy's got, I've got 20 levels on him. I have 20 levels on this guy. What is he going to do to me? Nothing. So I'm not going to kill the guy. I'll walk up, I'll sap him. Or, like, the other day, I walked upon a guy, and I shot him with my bow once, you know, and I didn't kill him, just enough to send him running through the zone, you know, just to tear off going, oh, my God, you know, but it's like, I'm not going to pursue the guy. You know, and I can't remember if I told this story, but the other day, any chance you just listened to 111?
Yeah, actually, I listened to the...
Did I tell the story about the guy, the druid that was 60, and then the warrior and the priest I ran into?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, this was hilarious, because, yeah, I don't think I did, because this was just the other day, I think. Okay, like the perfect example, I could have sworn I told this story, though. Anyway, basically what happened was, you know, I'm in a low-level zone, well, relatively low-level. It's Stranglethorn Vale, it's like 30 to 40, maybe 30 to 45, generally. I got out of there about 40, because I hated it, but there's a lot of people that lag around, and, you know, they tie up their quests and whatnot, finish what they have to do. I like moving on, I like exploring in these games. There was a quest that somehow had managed to stay in my quest log that I'd never wrapped up in that zone, and I just managed to never delete. And I was like, okay, well, I got a few minutes before work. I'm going to roll out there and handle this quest real quick. You know, what are the chances of me getting fucked with by somebody when I think at the time I was like 55, you know, maybe 56. I thought, what are the chances of me getting fucked with? You know, pretty slim. I'll go out and have a nice quick run through this cave, kill the guy I need to, get the item, and go back down to Booty Bay like I need to. So I go out there, sure enough, kill the guy, get the item, I start heading back, and there's a 60 druid chilling on the road. I start to run around him, you know, thinking, oh, I don't want to mess with him, and maybe he's busy doing something, and he's not going to mess with me, you know, because the difference between, you know, say 56, 57, 58, 59 versus a level 60 guy is gargantuan, okay? It's not like these people just cracked level 60 a day or two ahead of you. You know, they cracked level 60 a year ago and have been gearing themselves up since then. So it's like a 20-level difference from when I hit 60 to when I'm fighting somebody who's been 60. I mean, you know, based on gear, it's like that huge of a leap. I basically still can't fight somebody even when I'm 60. I can't fight another 60 that's all geared out. Like, they just beat your ass. So I'm, like, afraid of 60s, and, you know, I go to walk around this guy, and sure enough, he sees me come down the road, and I thought he was going to let me go. I run behind some tree, and when he's just out of my view, I see it says, you know, jackass, horde, fucking druid, casts fucking entangling roots. So I'm like, oh, God, here it goes, you know, and sure enough, I get rooted. So I think, well, I can't beat this guy, but I can run. Now, mind you, I'm spec'd combat. I had to respec combat for one level just because it got so bad because there's no weapons, okay? I had to respec combat for one level or it would have taken me like a week to get to 37. So I'm combat, and I'm not even sure how to do combat that well, but I only needed to fumble with it for a little while, and I'm still used to playing the way I play, you know, lots of assassination stuff, lots of backstabs, lots of ambushes. So I hit vanish to break the root. I rush the guy, and my mace procs its special little thing, because I have mace specialization when I was a combat spec, to stun him. Well, it's not a very long stun, so I stood there for a while he had some dots on me and whatnot, or whatever the fuck he did to me that was fucking me up. And I ended up gouging him, which stuns him for, you know, like 5.5 seconds, and I hit sprint, and I ran the fuck away. Now, that means I've used basically the two skills that I have that get me out of combat. They're on like 5-minute timers, so I'm fucked, okay? But I run away from the guy, I got half my hit points left, and I leave this guy in the dust. Once the dots wear off and it drops combat, I was able to stealth. I saw the guy come around the corner, looked for me, couldn't find me, he went back. I keep going down the road on my way back to Booty Bay. I get up on my mount, I'm half dead, I'm home free though. The chances of me running into another level 60 that's bored enough to kill me in a level 30 to 40 zone is slim as fuck, so I start running down the road. Not 20 steps down the road, two horde, level 60 both, come straight at me down the road on their mounts. Now, a lot of the time, you know, you'll just pass by them. You know, like, I'm one guy, so I'm just gonna go, cause I'm not gonna fight two, I'll probably get smoked. So I'm just going to pass by, and chances are, if I just go past them and don't do anything weird, they may just pass by too. You know, it's happened once or twice. Well, of course, it doesn't happen now, and one of them, it turns out one was a warrior, one was a priest. The warrior gets off his mount, and, like, immediately gets off his mount and does that little rush charge thing where, like, you know, he flies halfway across the fucking zone to stun me for a couple seconds. Yeah. So he does that. And I'm, like, fucked. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I've got half my life. I just got beat up by a druid. All I want to do is make it to the goddamn town. I'm going to get smoked. And what ended up happening was I got off my mount and I figured, you know what, I've got no way to escape from this. I have no way to survive this combat. I may as well just piss this guy off and give him a run for his money as much as possible. So being combat spec, I hit Adrenaline Rush, Blade Flurry, and Evasion. Okay, so basically I've got an incredibly high dodge, super fast, you know, like it's mana, if you don't know what it is, it's our energy for us, but it's basically like mana regen, okay, it's our energy regen, and like my attack speed is like huge, well it's a big boost, like 20% boost or something to like my regular attack speed, and I start wailing on the guy, you know, I'm just like, well, at least I'll do some damage. Turns out, I beat the ever-living fuck out of this guy in like 10 seconds. I could not believe it. He couldn't hit me. Yeah, it was like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was in shock. I was like, oh, my God, here's a 60 that's not, you know, geared up and just totally decked out, you know? Holy crap. I beat the shit out of this guy, and I was half dead to start. He hasn't hit me yet. I get him down to within, you know, what looked like, I mean, just like a sliver of hit points before his friend decided to get off his mount. Like, he sat there. He was so sure that his level 60 warrior friend was going to beat the shit out of my little puny level 56 ass rogue that got jumped, okay? A rogue that gets jumped is in bad shape, okay? You know, was so sure that his friend was going to whoop my ass that he didn't even get off his mount while he watched his warrior buddy kick my ass. Turns out his warrior got bent over, and he just about dies when his priest buddy gets off his mount, drops a full heal on his warrior, dots the piss out of me, and then evasion wears out, and the warrior hits me once, and I get hit by two ticks of, like, his major dots, and I die. And they, you know, they emote, you know, laughs at your misfortune and spit on your body and all this stuff. And I'm like, my God, you little bastard son of a bitch kids suck. You know, you can't even fight me toe-to-toe. And you can't even do that because you jumped me when I was half dead. I looked like an easy kill. I mean, you know, and you get so angry playing, but that's like the fun part of it. Because you go back out and you exact your revenge on somebody else.
Yeah, but see, then the chain never breaks, and that's why everybody is ganking everybody at, 20 levels below and whatnot, because everybody's being a dick.
Right. This isn't pay it forward, okay? That's not going to change. This is BattleNet.
I understand, but what the hell, man? And no, it's just okay, like kids. But it's these little kids that get mad because, you know, not to be like sound like an old or anything like that, but these kids just can't stand losing games nowadays. You know, Generation Gimme, as Shane would say from RGR.
Right.
They just hate the fact that, you know, if they lose a game, then it's a big deal because they hate losing nowadays. That's another reason why games are all easy now, because if they lose a game, they're like, oh, you know, fuck this, I don't want to play this anymore, and then they wouldn't buy the game ever again. But, you know, that's a tough subject, but, you know, it's just like these little kids are just little punks nowadays. And that's why, it stops being fun after a while. I can see it's, you know, it's kind of fun, like, okay, yeah, you got me, and I'm going to get someone else. But, you know, after a while, you get sick of that. And you're not going to want to play because you're going to resent it. Because it's going to get stupid. It's not going to end. You always going to see
right. That's right. True.
I'd imagine it's worse if you were in the forum drama, because I'm sure as soon as he did that, he jumped off and got on the forums and said, oh, well, I just beat the crap out of this Night Elf Alliance, and he thought he got me, but he didn't get me. I'm cool.
Right, that's exactly sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what did happen. I'm positive that happened.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
I know that's what happens. No, it's not when you're on the receiving end, but if I can fight somebody, you know, toe-to-toe, it's a lot of fun. Now, it just so happens, being a rogue, my whole reason to exist is to get the jump on somebody, you know, is to hit them first, because I'm not combat spec. So it's like, you know, it's a lot of fun for me to go creeping around and, you know, jump some poor bastard who's just trying to get into his town, and I'll be sitting right outside Undercity waiting for him to come riding around the corner. But I'm not looking for people that are level 10. I'm looking for people that are level 60, you know, where it's going to be a little fun to play, you know, and that is cool. That is actually a lot of fun to me, and I like being involved in, like, maybe a big combat, you know, something gigantic. Like, Alteric Valley does a really good job with that. Unfortunately, it's not perfect. It needs a little bit of more things to do, I think. But it's a really good step in the right direction, though. And Blizzard needs to realize how great that is, I think, and build upon that and give us, you know, maybe 10 more battlegrounds or so that are, you know, the same idea, essentially. Like a battleground, not a game like Capture the Flag, you know, in Warsong Gulch, and Capture and Hold like Arathi Basin. This is a battle. There's war going on, you know. It's really, really cool. That's a lot of fun.
It would actually be cool if they integrate the battlegrounds into some kind of territory system. Like, you remember in Final Fantasy XI, if you were in a certain area and you're from a certain city and you get enough rosters, yeah, you can actually move your territory into someone else's territory and give it, like, purpose. You know, then you could, you know, from that land you can get better gear or whatever, and then the Horde would have to try to get their land back. And it'll be cool if they did that one.
That is a fantastic idea. Right now you're fighting on an arbitrary battleground. You zone into a place that doesn't exist in the game world. Okay, it's not a zone. It's not there. You zone into it from a cave in the world, and you go off, you're whisked away to some magical land that doesn't exist, and there's little fairy princesses and elves, and, you know, it's all good, because if you win or lose, nothing happens from it. You don't lose any ground, you don't gain any ground, and there's no, that's a very, very amazing point that you've just made, because that never crossed my mind, is to have the battlegrounds actually fucking matter, and they very well should. This is war. This is war. This isn't some happy little, you know, fucking, well, it is. It's World of Warcraft, but, you know, it's not all smiles and cupcakes here, okay? Fucking, it's supposed to be war. And, wow, that's a fantastic idea. If you had enough, you don't necessarily need a zone for every zone in the game. You don't need a battleground for every zone in the game. That would be a little overkill. There's way too many zones. But maybe if they only made a few zones contestable, okay, you know, like, the newbie zones wouldn't be contestable, okay, you know, but the other zones might be, or some of them, or maybe you could group them together. Maybe there was, like, a group of three zones that are close together, and it's called the, you know, Northern Kalimdor fucking battleground, okay, and you're fighting for, you know, the not just one zone up there. You're fighting for, say, I can't even think of it, Moonglade, Fellwood, and what's that other one? Winter something, and Azshara. Maybe you're fighting for those four. So, like, if that week, you know, Alliance kicked the shit out of the Horde that week, that would become our zone. And like, we had maybe, let's say, extra flight points there, you know? And maybe there was, you know, other maybe PvP rewards or whatever. I mean, there's a number of things you could do, but that is a fantastic idea.
And the other problem I think you said was you can't even have fun with the battlegrounds until you're at that level cap, right? I think they have like a level 40 battleground, but you can be like 30 to 40. But, I mean, there's no point having a level 30 going to a level 40 battleground because it's people who are like 39 and 40 are going to kick the crap out of anyone who's 30, right?
Right. That's exactly what it is. And my understanding, I actually haven't, I'm obviously unable to check it out because I'm not 60 yet. My understanding is at 60... on Alterac Valley, you're put into the, and I know I've seen it because I've fought nothing but level 60s in Alterac Valley. They put you into the 50 through 60, right? It's not like the other ones where it's like, you know, whatever through whatever. Like, you have to, like, I'm not actually quite sure now. Maybe it's like, I think it's like, it starts at 10 and goes to 19, I guess. And then you hit 20 and you're in a different one, but you fight up to, you know, 20 to 29, 30 to 39, 40 to 49, 50 to not 59, but 50 to 60 is there. Like, they just take everybody. So, right. Like, when I first went into Alterac Valley, just to check it out, I was 51. And just about everybody I ran across was level 60. And, like, you don't stand a chance. You can't even hit these fucking people. And no matter what they are, they one-shot you. You know, there's such a gap between even 59 and 60. There's a huge gap. But, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, maybe you should have broke this down a little bit more or something. And Blizzard, you know, okay, you wait all day sometimes to get into a battleground. That is what's another thing that's killing this game. If Blizzard has killed off the open world PvP, you know, and hasn't essentially made battlegrounds easy and accessible, okay, to the player, they have two different places that you could, well, okay, you can queue for the battleground at any of the three major cities and the real world, like, zone in for it, even though it doesn't actually exist. There is a zone in for every battleground somewhere in the world. You know, you can queue up there, but maybe it needs to be a little bit simpler. Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe put a guy that you can queue up at with all over the fucking place, like at every flight point or something. Just make it a little bit easier. Nothing sucks more than being like, yeah, I need to queue up for battlegrounds, but I gotta go all the way fucking back here and then all the way back out to where I need to be. You know, only to get there, and then you get sucked off to the battleground, and it drops you off back at where you fucking queued, not where you left. Then you gotta go back out to where you were. You know, I mean, there's a couple things that are annoying.
You mentioned on the last show, but yeah, they definitely need an all-world queue. So you know who wants to do what and where, and that would make it a lot more fun to group up with people.
Right. I could have sworn I heard something about them working on that for the expansion or something, but I mean, if not everybody buys the expansion, I don't see how that would work out for them, but maybe it was just going to be a patch that doesn't require the expansion. I guess that's the only way they could do it. I heard that they were going to put that in, you know, and it was going to be around the time of the expansion, I guess. But Kobar was saying that he said they were going to look into see if it was possible. They were going to look into that. So I'm not so sure. I don't know. I'm not quite sure where we should go for information on that. But something like that would really, really aid this game because you wouldn't be playing against just your server anymore. You would have people to compete against all day long, and you wouldn't have to wait in line. You know, it's like I've waited, like, you know, 5 hours to get into some of these. And it sucks because you're like, well, I don't want to wander off too far and go do whatever else I would be doing if I wasn't queued for Battleground, you know. I would go off really far, and I would go do some things and blah, blah, blah. But because I'm queued for Battleground, I don't really want to go all the way out there because with my luck, I'll get all the way out there and then the battleground will pop up and I'll go and then it'll drop me all the way back at where I started and I'll have to walk the fuck all the way back out here again. So I'm not going to do anything, you know, and it's just like you wind up sitting around town and you're bored and God, it's terrible. Like I saw a level 60 paladin walking around with a level 3 two-handed sword yesterday with a crusader enchant on it. You know, I mean, this is like an expensive enchant on a level 3 white weapon called like a beat stick or something, and he's like, you know, bored out of his gourd, you know, trying to duel people with a level 3 sword just for fun, you know. And I think this is how that kind of thing happens. There's not enough to keep you occupied, and if there is enough, you know, hey, let's say Battlegrounds is your thing, you can't get in it enough to have it, you know, take up like your whole day. You end up waiting for 90% of your day, well, probably 45% of your day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they definitely need some kind of, and they have the resources to do this too. It's just like, you know,
if they're making $71 million a month, pretty much the sky's the limit on what they can do.
Exactly. If they're making all that money off this game, I'm sure they are. They can take care of that, and they can also take care of the waiting to get onto a busy server.
Right. There's definitely it almost feels like Blizzard's not really giving us any love. It feels like what they're doing is the standard MMO company work. We'll release a few content patches, you know, like once a month. We'll put out a big patch that breaks a lot of shit. The servers will be down for 2 days, you know, but we added a zone. We added a zone that, you know, has crap loot in it. We added a zone. So, yeah, we're working on it, and there's the occasional thing they need to nerf. You know, we got to nerf this, we got to nerf that. Can't let people be, you know, super powerful. People get pissed. Only the shamans can be powerful. We'll look into an expansion pack for you. But basically, you guys are paying us a fuckload of money, and so you must be happy with it, so we're just going to play it safe. You know, that's yeah. Kind of the feeling I'm getting.
You know, in Blizzard's defense, I don't think they expected this game to have the breakout success that it did. And they're also, this is the first time they're actually attempting an MMO. So, you know, I mean, they do have that to that hurdle to jump over, but, I mean, it's been a year. They should know what they're doing by now.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, I'm actually kind of pleased with World of Warcraft. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I like the graphics. I know you don't care for the graphics up close. I think the graphics are actually really nice for the hardware that it can run on. Now, I'm sure EQ2 is a lot better graphic-wise, but, yeah, but, I mean, I need the freaking, like I said before, the NASA supercomputer to run it at any type of frame rate. This thing I can actually run on my laptop, and it still looks gorgeous, and, you know, I'm getting, like, you know, 45, 50 frames per second.
Right, which is very respectable.
Exactly.
It's playable.
Yeah,
I must say, I too was pretty impressed. Like, I was kind of shocked that I didn't get really sick and tired after, like, level, you know, 15 again. And just, you know, I was actually kind of shocked that there was some things that were keeping me there.
Yeah, I do like the fact that you can go to a zone and, like, for example, Strange Sun Valley, and if you get tired of that zone, you don't have to stay in that zone to level. There's other zones that are level 30 to 40 that I can go to kind of change things up a bit. Because, tell you the truth, if I had to stay in SCV to entire from 30 to 40, I don't know if I'd continue playing. Because that zone that's like one of the worst zones in the entire game.
It really is. And I had a hard fucking time being in that place, and I finally, like, I got out as soon as I possibly could and went to all over. And, you know, there was days, like, I'm new. I don't know. I don't read the boards. I don't read any of the sites. So it's like, you know, most players know exactly where they want to go at what level. I have no fucking clue. So I get to go on exploratory missions, and it's way cool because, like, I'll just, you know, wander around through zones I've never been to, and just see what level the mobs are and find a nice little place to be. You know, and it's really cool because it's like, wow, I discovered this. Even though the whole world has known about this for 10 years, I didn't. You know, so I discovered it now. And that's fucking awesome. Like, when I found Feralas, I almost shit myself. I was so happy with that place, getting out of STZ and finding that place, going, oh my god, this is where I want to be for a while. I like this zone. You know, Tanaris down there by Gadgetzan didn't do it for me, you know, and I was like, well, this kind of blows. And I got to do it again recently. You know, when I hit like 50, I got kind of tired of Feralas, and I wandered around and spent a little time in the Blasted Lands and Angoro Crater, and I wound up in the Western Plague Lands, you know, just random places I'd never been. I basically kept looking at the map and figuring, you know, where would the next logical zone be, you know, based on, you know, spreading out from the starting town. So it's kind of easy to tell where you can go. And Fellwood, and I found out that I really like Fellwood, and I really like this Eastern Plague Land, so I play between those two. You know, I go out there because I don't like the other, you know, like I can't stand in Goro Crater. I don't like, you know, there's all these other places I don't like. And I play where I want, and that is really, really nice. I like that an awful lot. I mean, there's definitely some good stuff, but, like, okay, dude, I'm basically here 2 levels away from 60 to the point where I'm not going to need to wander around the fucking world anymore unless I'm doing a very important quest, you know, one that gives me access to a Nexus layer or whatever the fuck it is that I have to do to get access to the raids, which I'll never do anyway, probably. So this game is going to change drastically for me here in another couple of days. Like, I don't know, it might take me a week to get those last 2 levels because I can't really play that much during the week anymore. But, you know, I'm close to 60. I don't want to piss around the world and just kill stuff for no apparent reason anymore. You know, what am I going to do? I'm going to be stuck in Battlegrounds. So it'll be interesting to see how the game changes all of a sudden for me. That's, you know, why I wanted to really mention that. It's going to be a whole different game here in 2 more levels.
Right. But we already knew going in that the in-game content in World of Warcraft is lacking, to say the least.
Right. Yeah, you've got a handful of raids, and that's it.
Yeah, so, you know, that's why I guess a lot of people re-roll a second character, so they can try it again through the eyes of a different character. Now, how is that working out for you? Because I know you're playing a mage, and I think you have a warrior that you're trying to level. I mean, is it?
Yeah,
I guess I assume it's not as fun the first time around, but, I mean, do you think you're going to get that to 60, or you don't really have any type of desire to do that?
I don't see it happening. It's really weird, because, like, okay, the warrior, he was more of just a mule, you know, just a guy I had to hold some shit, you know, so the warrior doesn't really count. He's, like, level 6, and that he got those 6 levels basically going from, you know, his little starting newbie place to his first trek to Ironforge, and he's never left since then, you know? The mage is up to, like, 14, who I've never, she, you know, that the mage character happened to be a, you know, basically a mule who I was going to make an enchanter or whatever. And, you know, I don't know, it seemed like a good idea to play a mage just to see the game from, like, the spell side of the view, but it was nice to be able to send all my crappy green items that won't sell to a character of mine that could disenchant it and send, you know, my main character back the stuff so I wouldn't have to pay so much to get my enchants done. And so I don't really play them very much, but I did, like, I'm pissed off, like, in the last week or two because of the whole, you know, having no weapons thing available for, like, 10 levels as a rogue, that I played the mage for just a little bit here and there. I mean, like, I can't play that much during the week anymore, so... You know, the mage is, like, 14 now, and it's incredibly boring. Like, I think it would get a whole lot more fun once I get a few more spells, but, you know, but with, like, the 6 spells or 7 spells that I have, whatever I have at level 14, like, I fall asleep trying to play that character. It's incredibly boring, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. But my main concern is decking out, you know, or at least with fairly decent gear, my rogue. I mean, the rest of it's just kind of fluff. It's just if I'm bored. You know, I mean, what I want is really nice gear for my rogue so I can go, you know, mess people up. I mean, that's the point of what this is for me now. You know, it's like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much all you can do at 60. The gear is, gear in the game is pretty varied. You know, I kind of like it. I don't like the character models themselves too much or,
No, me neither.
How your characters look with the gear on, like the robes. I mean, that's all. That's terrible. I mean, it's worse than Final Fantasy XI as far as that's concerned. But
it's pretty strange.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, some of the design choices are really peculiar.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, it's as good as the game is. You know, graphic-wise, the environment, they just didn't put any time into varying up the character models at all. It's just, you know, it's boring, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it really is. You just don't feel very unique, you know. It kind of sucks.
No.
But I tell you what, it's been an hour and a half, so I remember we started at least 4:08. It's 5:38 right now. So hopefully we can get, you know, like Modem has played this forever, you know, so it'd be nice to hear, because like last night, you know, I mean, I talked to him on the phone for about 2 hours, and he told me all about, you know, what happened when Battlegrounds came out and the nerfs they've done to certain classes and what this patch did and what that patch did and the current state of things and, you know, what has happened to, he even had stories for, like, weapons. Like, if you mention a weapon, like an item, he's like, oh, yeah, okay, the drama on this is this. You know, people found out you could do this with this weapon, and then Blizzard had to do this. And it's like, holy fucking shit, that's interesting, though, you know, because I'm playing now. But, you know, a couple weeks ago, I couldn't have gave two shits, you know.
Right, right, yeah, get them on next time so you can have the World of Warcraft commercial on number 3.
Right, exactly. But I mean, through a newbie's eyes, it's got to be somewhat interesting, though, to hear it from you know, our perspective. You know, I mean, maybe not so much for the people that have been playing for this whole time. Maybe they don't care to hear what we have to say because we obviously don't know, you know, and we obviously think different
about,
than they
basically.
Do. You know, right, exactly. We obviously have no fucking clue. However, like from a game design standpoint, this is incredibly interesting to hear. You know, like if somebody from Blizzard listened to this and said, you know, wow, fucking these people somehow made it under the radar and the, you know, our infectious disease here didn't touch these people until later and this is their opinion on it now and this is what they see the game as and you know, wow, this wasn't our projected outcome of this, so, you know, fuck, you know, maybe we should do this and that instead. And, you know, instead of listening to all the same kids whine for the last year and month or two, you know, here's a fresh outlook on the game. You know, so,
yeah,
like, I don't know.
I'm sure their complaint forms are filled with nerf rogues, nerf hunters, nerf warrior, nerf shaman.
Nerf shaman! I mean,
yeah, exactly. That's probably all they have on their forum. So, yeah, it'd be nice to give them a fresh perspective.
I think so. But anyway, we gotta get going.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know what'll happen next week. Kobar should be back, so I don't know what Modem's up to, but yeah, we'll figure something out until some news picks up. You know, because one of these days, like Heroes of Might and Magic 5 is gonna come out and Oblivion's gonna come out, so there is gonna be other games to talk about.
Kingdom Hearts 2,
yep, absolutely. So, you know, Barbie's Horse Trail Adventures 3, there's going to be games to talk about. Hey, at least it'll run on the Xbox 360 emulation. So, yeah, I mean, there will be stuff to talk about. So, until then, I guess, we'll see you next week.
Later.
Mobs is my role. I maintain aggro, but the rogue doesn't know he's not empty tonight.
World of Warcraft is a feeling. Who needs a social
Stargate's number SM, won't you join me on an instance farming run?
Let me hit the vendor, free up some bank space. Once I repair, I'll be good to go.
Warcraft is a feeling. Who needs a social life? Strath and Skolo, and you'll be our rest. You just dropped my valor helm. How could I roll a 6? Grats to my guildmate, but I can't believe this.
Game I've ever played. This is the greatest game. World of Warcraft, you're the greatest game.
World of Warcraft, you're the greatest game. The best game I've ever played.